Okay, welcome to your June 28th. I'm pretending this is the first week of July. June 28th mastermind. Nobody, whenever I do things on the first week of July with the 4th and all that, for the US people, that's always kind of cumbersome. So anyway, we're just doing it now. And it's wonderful to be here with all of you. And I look forward to serving you, answering your questions. I want to bring you a little bit about the energy, the update I'm working on today. Hopefully it'll go out tomorrow morning for July. And then we also have a full moon coming up. I did send a reminder out to you all to let you know about that. And also I did shift the date on that. So it's the 2nd and not the 3rd. The full moon's actually at 7:30 in the morning on the 3rd. And doing it on the 2nd will keep us a little bit farther away from the 4th of July. And I think that'll probably be better for people as well. So and better for all the fireworks and barking dogs. So I look forward to being with you for another full moon circle. It'll be a powerful one. All righty. So I'm just going to jump in with you just a tiny bit about the energy. You'll get this in the update, but I want to take a little bit of time just to explain this aspect a little bit more, because it's an interesting thing that happens. It happens in different ways throughout the year, but it happens every year around this particular time in some ways. And we have pretty much all the planets, well, all the planets except for Jupiter and for Saturn are going to move through the Gandanta point between Leo and Cancer and Leo. And whenever you have a fire and a water sign next to one another, there is, and that's three places in the Zodiac. That's also between Pisces and Aries. And we went through this back in, I want to say like March, April, there was some planets, you know, Jupiter, there were some planets that transitioned there. And then also between Scorpio and Sagittarius. These are places where the nakshatras, the lunar mansions, they typically create a bridge, so to speak. They start in one sign. As the signs come together, there's usually a nakshatra that is partly on one sign and partly on the other, and they kind of create a bridge from one energy transitioning into the other energy. Now, granted, when you look in the sky, there isn't squares up there like we look in Vedic astrology, or a pie slice like we look in Western, but these are, you know, astronomical areas. And the signs are, you could think of them as a state, and then you could think of the nakshatras maybe as the cities within the state. You know, it's the backdrop. So there's a lot going on up there, and there's all these stars. So the nakshatras are the clusters of stars in Vedic astrology that allows us to see deeper into things. Well, when we have these fire and water signs together, what happens is with the fire and water signs is that they actually butt up against one another, and the nakshatra doesn't create a bridge. So one nakshatra stops very sharply and another starts in the next sign. So there's this liminal place for a couple of degrees in between, which is kind of out to lunch. It's like, oh, okay, so there's no bridge. I have to swim in the river, and we have to cross the river. So while we're crossing the river, or you can think of like a state that the river is the boundary. And once you're crossing, you're in the river. You're not in one state really or the other. Like, where is that line in the river? You know, it's hard to tell. So when planets move through that Gandanta placement, it really, it is kind of like a river in a lot of ways. It really helps to clear karmic debris. But in that clearing of karmic debris, it is, it's an unsettled period of time. Like, so, well, I'm not here, I'm not there. That planet isn't there, it's not there. And so we just want to watch those periods of time. It's a great time for spiritual work. It's a great time to, you know, pay attention and maybe process what comes up. Maybe you'll have some things come up from the past that need to be cleared. But it's not a great time to take action, like worldly action, on the things that come up, because it's intangible. You know, it's in transition. So sometimes, like the mind could be unsettled, or so the first planet we have moving through that transition is Mars, and it's doing it almost as we speak. So the 29th, the 30th, and the 1st of July is kind of the real heart of it. Some people look at it as more degrees. I kind of look at the real heart of it. And so those of you who are an Aries ascendant or moon or a Scorpio ascendant or moon, it can really affect even more so. But all of us, Mars is something, and Mars is our honorable warrior, our engineer, our strategist. And so with those qualities we use Mars for, which is the passion, the productivity, leadership, and Mars has not been in a good place since last August, like in a strong place, and it's going to come into Leo in a very strong place. Then we just wanted, you could feel irritated, or you could feel like, oh, I was just kind of getting going on something and now it's not going to happen. Just take a chill pill on those few days around, or you could just feel irritable if this is affecting you. And it's so just, watch your tongue. Okay. So just take a chill pill, get out and exercise, meditate, but, don't take any immediate action based on any like potential frustrations or confusions that are coming up. Okay, so that's that piece around Mars. I'll give you all the dates in the update, but I wanted to explain Gandanta a little bit because not only is Mars moving through, then we're going to have Venus is right behind it, and Venus is going to move through it three times because Venus is going to retrograde. And so it's going to retrograde back and retrograde again. So in it only retrogrades every 2 years. I'll talk about that in the update. I won't take up the time to do that. And that's a very important transit. Again, it only happens every 2 years. And then we've also going to have the Sun transit through that spot, Mercury transit through that spot. So there's a lot of action through that. So I'll give you the dates to watch for those. And you'll just want to mark in your chart, like, oh, like, yeah, I'm a Leo ascendant. Sun is really important for me. Sun is important for all of us. But on those days, hey, if I'm really feeling unsettled about something, let me just give that a little bit of time. Okay. And not, and if you are, starting to feel agitated about things, maybe it's a time to, schedule yourself a little bit, lighter during those times. And the one thing that we're really going to watch a lot, and again, I don't want to just I'm going to do the update, so I don't want to take all your time with that. But relationships are a highlight here for a while, okay? Because of where Venus is in Cancer, Venus is moving, and the great connector, the artist, the muse is going to move into Leo, and then it's going to retrograde back into Cancer. And so we're going to be revisiting a lot around relationships. And then those of you who are Libra ascendants and Taurus ascendants with Venus, or where the connector, or the artist of the muse is a strong archetype for you. It's not bad, the retrograde. The retrograde is where Venus is actually strong, but we will all be, because it'll be in Cancer, we'll be revisiting relationships, relationship issues. That's not all bad. That's by any means. I mean, we could have, and family matters, family and home, because it's going to be in Cancer. So, if you're having a family reunion, you want to be aware of that, okay? And that's when you want to go with your emotional buckets full so that you're not unconsciously going and trying to get your needs met by your family who never met your needs anyway, by the ones who didn't meet. So, these are, it'll be a summer of I want to say processing and working on and revisiting and upgrading issues, intentions around how we do connect in with each other and with home and with family. Okay. And so there's some real beautiful things that come up with that too. Like we'll have the desire to connect in deeper. But then sometimes when we have the desire for something more, we flip into lack. And that's the thing that I want you to really watch out for. So anyway, I'll talk about that a little bit more with the update, but I just wanted to give you a little preview, and especially since that one Gandanta, we're kind of just about in it with Mars here. And those of you, like I said, who are the Scorpio and Aries ascendants. And Tina, are you a Scorpio ascendant? I want to say.
In regular astrology, I'm Virgo, but I believe you may have said I'm Leo
I wouldn't
in
call it regular. I would call it Western,
okay,
but
Western.
it's okay. I'm going to actually just bring up your chart here. You are. Oh no, you are. You're. Oh no, that's second. That's not your chart. That's a different Tina. It's always good when I'm reading the right chart. There you are. Yeah, you're a Leo ascendant. So,
Yeah.
all this is going to be going on through your first house. It's going to be a very powerful time for you this summer. And then Karen, of course, you're a Libra ascendant. And aren't you a Frida? Aren't you a I can't, my brain got full with charts a while ago, but I want to say you're an Aries ascendant, Frida.
Or a Gemini. On April 19th.
Oh, you're a Gemini. Okay, that's right. You're okay, right. We have the same birthday, completely different chart. Okay. Yeah. So, and then Mercury, where Mercury is right now is just a super great place for you right now. So, anyway, with that, I'm going to just open the floor here. Whoever wants to share, wants support, just wants to talk about going into anything deeper, just let it rip. Okay, Karen, what's going on?
Okay, so my general question is having to do with how much should we think about astrology stuff in dating relationships?
Oh, a lot.
And so one of the things I'm note I'm just one of the highlights I'm noticing is that there's like several different guys I've gone out with that there's something really great about them. Like I really like that, but then it's like they're all in different.
This is
Anyway.
what this is what because you have Rahu in your house of relationship, as I told you, this is a good time to explore and date. And remember, when you're aware of, we want to stay aware of mostly what we want, right? But being aware of what we doesn't resonate for us or what's not our preference could be very useful in
Oh,
helping
yeah.
you to understand more about what your preference is. I think it's great for you to be dating and for you to really be noticing, oh, well, no, that doesn't resonate for me. Oh,
Yeah.
that really does resonate. And you know what's that? I know there's a couple of different books that were written, and I remember the years ago, the funny book, the sweet potato something or other. It's like, oh, well, I need four guys. I need the guy who makes me laugh, the one who makes love to me, the one who takes me out and spends the money on me, and the one who takes me dancing. It's like, okay, can we just like get that,
Exactly.
So.
And yeah, and one of the things that one other little thing, like they're all kind of big, but I just feel like I want to be more articulate and I don't want to set anybody up that I don't want to give them false whatevers, So I want to be careful about that too. So I have been reading about compatibility with different signs. I don't know if that's any help or not, but
Well,
it's
not in Western, it's not going to be a huge amount of help because it's not going to be completely
Yeah.
accurate. But so let's remember who your relationship planet is, and everybody can get something from this, okay? So with your relationship planet is always going to be your seventh house lord. Okay, so for you, that's Mars.
Okay.
Okay, for for Frida, that's Jupiter. For Tina, I'm talking to the people who are here because they're here. And those of you listening in, you can look at your chart. And then for Tina, that's Saturn. And then, but then that's not just it though. So then we have to look at where is the Mars in your chart? Where is the Saturn in your chart? Where is the Jupiter in your chart, which then colors who that person is even more so.
Okay.
Okay. Now it's a little bit tricky with Venus and Mars, and I think books have been written about Venus and Mars and all of that. But we do attract, it is opposite in the chart, okay, from ourself. That's the farthest place away from us is the seventh house. It's completely across the thing with a sunrise and sunset. And so with Mars is a tricky planet because we need someone with a really good Mars because not everyone has a really good Mars. And Mars is a martial planet. It's the honorable warrior. It's honorable when it's under good aspect. It's what creates war. When I see Mars in the house of home and family, I have to, if it's not well aspected, this is where I'm going to see abuse in the home and things like that. So there's, we have good Martians and we have not so good Martians. You have a great Mars in your chart. Your Mars is in your seventh house. It's very strong, but you also have to watch out for that too. Meaning that it has to, and it's also your money planet. And your Mars is with Saturn. So that, Mars and Saturn together is a very interesting combination aspecting or together minor directly aspecting. It's a kind of a reinvent. People tend to reinvent themselves, tend to be rebels at a certain level. There's a kind of a rebel quality. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a rebel with a cause is very different than a rebel without one, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, so for you, this, and this is Aries. Aries is, you know, again, quick, fast. It's going to be, you have to always watch out about having somebody who's very too dominant over you. Although you have that strong Mars too. So you have that, you know, that engineer and that part of you and that honorable warrior. So, you know, a good Martian is you think of the honorable warrior. Is the essence of the honorable warriors, it takes direction from spiritual, takes direction from the Brahmins, and not doesn't fight just for the sense of fighting. And there's a lot of that going on in the world, right? Fighting just for 3D world so-called power, and what it, you know, like only one person can have the Powerball, which we know isn't necessarily true. So you just have to, you know, this has to be somebody who is you know, who is spiritually connected, is and that's different. You know, I mean, a guy could ride his bike in nature and feel spiritually, you know, it's just going to be very different. But it's, you know, this, you have to look out for that. Like, is this an honorable type of a person? You have to really watch out for somebody with a really quick, hot, fast temper.
Yeah, there's this one guy, we're like oil and water. Like, I'm interested in him, but he hurts my feelings. So it's just like,
okay, so for you, that's not something for you to get over. You are sensitive.
Yeah.
And that is not, this is, you need somebody who is caring.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, that's not worth your good information to have, right? Yeah. Now you could also have a lot of passion with somebody like that, but passion is not going to last forever. We all know how that goes.
So here's another kind of thing too about masculinity and femininity, and also the whole idea of like a high value man is really going to be masculine, and then are they going to hurt my feelings because they're, do you know what I'm getting at?
Yes,
there,
I know what you're getting at. So let's remember there's the and we can go back to the balancing your masculine feminine training for this. There's the sacred masculine, and then there is the shadow masculine. And we have a lot of shadow masculine, and a lot of women have modeled a kind of a shell of success or power or whatever after shadow masculine even. And that's something the divine feminine has to continue to break through, or not, but it would be good if they do. So the, you know, really the sacred masculine, Yes, you want somebody. So the essence of really a good masculine side for us women, our masculine side, and what we're looking for in a man is direction, mm-hmm. and trustability. And it's really the essence of it is consciousness. If we want to slice and dice things, consciousness is masculine. It's really the essence of nothing. It's the flipping channel is a very, very low form of trying to find, you know, meditation would be the higher form of going into that nothing. The essence of the masculine side of all of us and men, that's the hardest thing for them, is to feel trapped, because freedom is the highest quality to the masculine. So it's that consciousness where, so you could think of the feminine is all of life. So you could think of the, you know, the energy that's created everything in a way, and this is just adding the masculine feminine model to it. Think of that as consciousness and all of life and the weather that's consistently changing and the play of life and emotion. That's all the feminine. That's all the feminine. And so the feminine draws the masculine more into life, and the masculine, like, so, and then the masculine side, that direction, that, like, that's that masculine. If you think about it, it's like, oh, like, he's clear. He has a purpose. He's directed. He can actually say this or that. I can trust him if he says, Hey babe, why don't you just do this? You know, here, come with me over here. Like, Then that, as I always say, a really, a feminine, you know, man or woman, whoever's playing the feminine, needs a really good, strong pole to dance around. And it's, but it is like that image. Like we need, you know, like we know it's there. Mm-hmm. And that we can be wherever. And if we get too far off, and you know, because you think of also the, you know, how I use the analogy of the river banks of a river are masculine. The water is feminine. If we don't have river banks, there's no river, right? If just water flows everywhere, how is it going to make it to the ocean? The river banks give it direction, right? But then the other essence goes to another level. And this is very important for you to remember, is that it is the feminine that informs the masculine. So the water is informing that land on how the river banks need to be carved to give the flow, her, the container she needs to be in her flow and to get to the river. So that's why you need a man who, or it's desirable to have a man who respects your intuition, even when you don't know where the heck that information came from, your sensitivity, and honors that as a real asset. And that you also, and then this, if you do have that strong masculine, not because he's forceful, but because he knows where he's going. And he's trustable in that, maybe not in all of his life, but in certain ways, then your feminine can, in those times, and especially in the intimacy, can rest into that. And you can be more in your feminine because it's like you say, okay, I'm going to give my masculine over to you because I trust you enough, not in your whole of your life, but within the intimacy. And then you can just relax into being more of your feminine. The river just can flow. The river banks are there.
Mm-hmm. So on these sites, they have, you know, is there anything practical I can take from, like, when they say what their sign is?
Oh, well, it's going to not be their sign in Vedic and you know, yeah. All systems have value, but in the truth, that's where the actual planets are. And through a telescope, you look up there, that's where they are. So they're not where they are in Western. So everyone's just used to Western, but that, you know, that's why it kind of gets all a little.
Yeah, it gets a little.
Airy-fairy as opposed to, like. This is what it is. So, but you can always ask me.
Okay. All right.
But the thing is you need a birth date. You know, if you get serious about somebody, we need a birth date. Yeah. We need a birth time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay attention too much to those. That. Okay. I would just trust yourself more. Yeah. You need a birth date, a birth time, and a birthplace. Yeah. Okay. And if we can't get a birth time, then we get a birthplace. And if you're serious enough about somebody, then and you're like, well, I don't really want to ask him. Well, think about it. Like, if that's of value to you, you want to know if he's going to poo-poo that stuff or not. You're not 20 years old, you know? Exactly. I mean, women who come to me with that, I'm like, give me a break, you know? Like, if you're going to find out in a little while, and if it's that he's going to poo-poo about you, there's other things.
There's going to be a lot of things. That's not the last thing.
Like, if you're woo, you're going to open it up and say, look, this is the deal, you know? I mean, at this stage, it's like, let's open the book. Here's what it is, you know?
Yeah. It's good information to have.
Good information to have. That's right. And, you know, you can always say, you know, even if you don't believe in this, it's of value to me. I found it of great value to me. Yes. And makes sense. Helpful.
Yes, it does. And it just does feel like I am in this, because I remembered you telling me about this year being a very much an exploration.
It's kind exploration of. till the end of November.
Yeah, so that actually helps me relax so much about this. So I just can't thank you enough.
I just appreciate
it. I'm gonna have fun with it.
You're going to dating school, you know. You're going to man school,
and I just want to make sure that my articulation in this process to the people that I'm connecting with, I really want to be as honest and transparent. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to lead anybody on and
see stuff like you. That. And the thing is that okay. So this is another thing which really, and thanks for, and I hope the rest of you are getting something out of this conversation. Another thing that really comes and. Okay, two things. As I said, relationships are going to be really up for all of us. Okay. Relationships are always a huge priority for the feminine more so than the masculine. Like, you know, you could have work to do today as an entrepreneur. You got a girlfriend who calls you. She's dealing with something, your sister or whatever. You're not going to write that blog. You're going to talk to her and help her out. That's just the way, you know, the feminine puts a high. So knowing that, and knowing also the time we're going into around Venus, you know, again, I would say revisit the, if you haven't done it already, there's several trainings about the masculine, feminine,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really good, useful energy for all of you. The other thing, hang on a second, is you want to be, this kind of goes back to being seen.
Mm-hmm.
And where to work on clearing is what keeps you from just being naturally who you are. This is not something to over, it's not something to strategize. Now, if you are showing up in ways that you know that isn't authentic, then that is something to work on. That is something to strategize and then to clear. And we all have that, right? Because mm-hmm. Venus, remember this, and Venus rules our relationships, and you are a Venusian, and you've had to deal with this a lot. We all have a Venus in our chart. Venus is a bit transactional, meaning that, and relationships are, and over the last year, especially on the, when we've had the eclipses, and we've had two healing circles around the eclipses, one last November and one this last spring, around this issue. And you can revisit those too, if, cause they'll be very useful. But in relationships, and especially with Venus, it's like, well, I want to be with you, so I'm willing to sacrifice a little of this. I don't really need to have, you know.
Okay, I gotta go now. Yeah, but I'll listen more later.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't really need to, you know, this is where we compromise, is in relationships. We compromise in relationships. So we have to be really careful. A lot of times we compromise too. Well, you know, he pays the bills, so, you know, I'll put up with that. Okay, well, I really would just rather have someone there, so I'm gonna deal with, you know, I'm going to deal with that. And we all do this, and relationships do take compromise. Absolutely. But we have to be careful that we're compromising what we want to, and what feels equitable, because we compromise a lot of what we don't want and what doesn't feel equitable just to keep the relationship intact. And that's something we have to really watch as both men and women in relationships. And Venus is going to be bringing a lot of those issues up as it does its retrograde. All right. Well, that was a fun tangent. Okay. So I hope you got something out of that. And again, I kind of go into that a lot deeper in all the trainings I have around masculine, feminine energy. It plays into business. It plays into everything. So either one of you, feel free to unmute and talk to me, talk to us. Hi, Frida.
Hi. I'm talking about relationships. This is a good thing coming up, because, you know, my mom passed away in March, and we just got the testamentary letter because we had to probate the will due to a bank thing. Yeah. But regardless, so my sister, I don't know if I've told you this, did I tell you that my sister is now my half sister? Did I tell you about that?
I don't think so.
Okay, so on my mom's dying bed, when she came out of ICU and she went into hospice, my sister had spent the night with her that night. My mom, who had not been lucid at all, wakes up that next morning and tells my sister, "I'm sorry, I didn't tell you that Dad's not your dad."
Oh, wow.
She died the next day. She died the next day. Yeah.
That was weighing heavy on her. Okay.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Within that last bit, or just after, I have known so many people where something like that has come up, or a half sister has, like, oh, well, like I have one, or, you know, yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah. 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 So my sister immediately took the DNA test, found out who the guy was.
Oh.
He's long passed, and did find out that she has a half sister.
Okay.
On that side. Yeah. So that being said, my sister was telling my brother and I that my mother had a savings account that is with my brother, and it's for $20,000. And she wanted that to go to her grandchildren. Okay, so my sister is saying now that mom wanted $10,000 to go to each grandchild. Okay, and there's five of them. All right, so that would mean that the other savings account that she has down here by me, that would suck up both accounts. All right, and this is going to come across as the way it comes across. I don't have any children. My sister has three children. Yeah. My brother has two children, and that means Frida gets nothing.
That's BS. Okay, so is that what the will actually says?
No, the will, no, that's it. The will says it's to be divided between the three of us.
Guess what? I got to tell you, I'm dealing with another client with this right now, and I've been working with her for the last 5 years, and this has been something that's been up as far as estate and everything. But, you know, the will is going to trump all. The will is going to.
That's the way I feel.
No, yeah. And if you have to get legal representation for that, I would. But the will, because they can't do hearsay. This happens all the time. That's why there's legal documentation.
Yeah, that helps, because it makes me, the way I feel is, okay, am I being selfish? And the point is no, I'm also an executor in the will, and it's not fair to be cutting me out too.
No, it's not. And it's, you know, so the will says nothing about that, what your sister's saying, correct?
Correct. Correct.
Well, she's just talking. I mean, this is what happens. This is why they have legal documentation. Because people just, you know, money makes people. Yeah. A lot goes on with families and things get weird. So, you know, that's the beautiful thing about a document is we can just point back to it. This is one of the things I do agreements. It's like, okay, we can point to the agreement. We just point to the agreement. You know, well, this is what the will says. This is what that's what we have to do. You can take whatever you want. You can give whatever you want to your kids from what's, you know, and usually wills don't skip a generation anyway. You know, so you just have to go by the will. And if anyone wants to challenge you on that, they're going to have to get legal representation to do that. And, you know, and there is a legal document.
There is.
And I granted, even one of the, what I was supporting, another client that I'm supporting, hang on just one second. My husband's going to walk in, and I've got a lot of dogs here today. Just let him know he can't do that. Okay. come in quietly downstairs or stay away for another half hour. She talked to a lawyer, because there was a letter that her father, I know all about that, you know, in very lucid mind, sent to all of the children and sent to the lawyers, because he made some really bad mistakes in the way it was originally, things were divided and were already handed out. And he said he wanted these amendments to be made. And it was dated about 4 or 5 months ago. And the lawyers did nothing about it.
Oh, wow.
And so she's actually talking to a lawyer today, but she contacted a lawyer and said, hey, you know, this is what's going on, and we'll find out what happens from that. And she has a real signed, sent to everybody letter from her father who died. And the lawyer's going, I don't know if we can do anything about that even. The will usually is the will. So they might be able, that was, you know, but this is just hearsay, and people do, like, anybody can make up anything. So, but your issue in this is, in truth, do you believe you're being selfish?
No. No.
Okay.
I don't think I
don't see you as being selfish, but I want, you know, if you need to clear something, you need to work on that. But,
right.
What are you afraid of if you just go ahead and say, you know, this is what the will says. We can only do what the will says.
The backlash from my sister.
Okay. And what will the backlash be?
Anger. She's got a lot of anger. And now with this going on with my mom and what she said, and this is the way she is anyway. She's like high strung. And
so how is that going to, so have you been doing a lot of compensating over the years just to not upset her?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And And then she's got, you know, my nieces and nephews and grandnieces and nephews, and she talks bad about me to them. And I would have to accept that, the backlash of it.
You'll have, and, but in truth, you're already accepting a lot of backlash from her anyway, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. I like to believe that the high road wins. Okay. And it doesn't always win sort of right away, but, this comes back to the people pleasing thing. Okay. And you have a really strong Venus. You have a great Venus. It's your connector. It's in your house of career. It's exalted. My Venus is right there too. It's a, you have a very, very great, strong Venus. And what I would say is that this is where you do need to look at, any clearing that you need to do on, the compromising that you're making. I would do the, there's two clearing processes to do here. One would be the clearing process called rewrite your story process.
Okay.
And if you can't find it, just tag me.
I've been looking. Yeah, I've been looking. I know where it is. Yeah. Okay, right. I've been going through and going, okay, which one do I need?
Okay. And then always trust yourself intuitively, because it'll all help. And the other one is going to be the polarity process. And everyone could just do the polarity process every day or every week, and it's on something, and it's going to be super, super useful. Okay. And with you, the polarity process is probably about being accepted or rejected. Okay. The way to navigate it, though, is just keep pointing to the piece. This is what the will says. This is legal. We can only do what's legal. That's all you can do. You could never please her enough. I just have to tell your mind this, to make her, she's trying to get, everybody has to walk on eggs around her when I tap her energy. Everyone has to walk on eggs. You know, everyone has to, she's trying to make everybody in the world act the way she, control them so that she can, I mean.
Got her energy. Yes.
That's not helpful or useful to anyone. And you could even do this, and she's still going to do those things to you.
I think so too. That's what I've been weighing. Yes, you're exactly right.
So this is a time for you to step into your power, and you have things to do, and you have, it's time, you know, you've been there taking care of your mom, and it's time for you to move on, you know?
That's the piece they haven't, you know, for a whole year, I put my business on hold so I could take care of mom, and they're not even Tina's face. And they're like, oh, of course you did. So,
well, you know what? They're also not going to, she's probably never going to recognize you. This is kind of what I was talking about. We have to be really careful where, I should do a whole training on this, where we go to fill up our emotional buckets. And what I mean by that is that when we go to our, we tend to go to our family of origin to get the love, the recognition. It's like a black hole that we never got. And it's like, you know, that whole saying about, you know, you keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. It's just, that's crazy. It's not going to happen. So when it comes to our family that we do have contention with, and we look at historically, then the best thing to do is make sure we go to any conversation or we go to, with our emotional buckets full. So you don't want to be going to them needing to be recognized. You get that from other places in your life. Fill yourself up there. To be accepted. If they want to badmouth you, you have to also trust other people can make their own choices. Other people can see through her, or right. Will be able to.
Right, right, right. Okay, I understand that. And the keeping the peace, it goes back, when you said that, that was one of the things my dad and mom raised us with. We're 14 months apart, between the three of us. So I get that. I'm getting you. I see it.
And she,
I will work on that.
And they were afraid of her too. So she was a pain in the neck, you know, so.
Yeah, pretty much. And now we know why she was so different than the rest of the family. Yeah, she told my brother, she says, y'all treated me different. And my brother, thank God, he says, Deidre, you were different. And now we know. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Is your brother on the same page as you?
Well, I don't know. I haven't said anything to either of them yet.
Well, and I wouldn't even ask now. I would just, this is when you are the executor of that will. And when it comes to executing,
my brother and I,
you just need to put your executor hat on. And no matter what anyone says, I just keep pointing to that will. And if you need to have legal counsel, really, you're the executor. There's nothing she can do unless she tries to get legal counsel, to challenge it. Otherwise, you just execute. You don't have to ask anybody, your brother. You don't have to ask anybody's permission. So I would just get it done.
Right. Agreed. Agreed. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome. Tina.
I need you to read what I wrote because I just need to be like slightly discreet here.
Okay, hang on a second here. Let me just read what you wrote. Hang on, chat is there. Hang on. You can be discreet. That's fine. Chat, there's the chat. Okay. Oh, cool. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's happening tomorrow?
Pretty much tomorrow night.
And when were you planning on maybe breaking the news there?
Like tonight.
Do you guys live together?
Yes.
Okay, you're funny. Okay.
I know. Really. I don't usually do this.
Okay.
No, I've never done this.
Okay. So what can you tell me what the big fear was about telling him sooner?
Well, just because he's always like, always worried about stuff and wanting answers. And I just didn't feel like I could communicate. I was like, I've been stressed my own getting things done. And I'm like, I have to take care of myself and do this. And I just don't want, it's probably mostly my imagination of the mountains out of a molehill, you know? Unfortunately, I've created this.
I get it. I totally get it. Yeah. And your partnership planet for you. So it's in, you can see all this relationship stuff is coming up. And let's remember that Venus and Mars have been in Cancer together for the last month or so. So this has already been all stirring up. Okay. So, relationship planet for you is Saturn, retrograde Saturn. Saturn just went retrograde. And you have a really strong Saturn. It's right where it went retrograde. You're having your Saturn return. So you have your Saturn in Aquarius. So, Saturn types, this is a great, it's a great Saturn. So that's all great. But, you're a Leo. And again, you get the opposite. So you get the slower moving, sometimes more mature, sometimes more fear-based, sometimes older.
All of the above.
Okay. You get that this needs to be a Saturn that's a pretty humanitarian type visionary at some level, or else it'll just be a stuck kind of Saturn. But anyway, you're Leo, you're fire, you're going, you're doing what, you got your sun and your ascendant in Leo, and you don't want anybody telling you what to do, And so I understand the dynamic as far as that goes. And so is your real question about feeling guilty?
I think I've laid the groundwork, and ironically, this kind of came up with another situation in his life where people were not cluing him in. So it's pretty funny, but I'm still like waiting. I've been like,
Okay, so when you do tell him, guilt is an interesting energy because
I just have to make sure I jump over the guilt.
I understand.
I
let's go through it. Okay, so let's define. So guilt, if we're going to continue to beat ourselves up, guilt, we always are thinking, I should have done it differently, right? I wish I would have done it differently. I did something. Now, it could be useful if we're going, okay, I'm learning from that, and this is how I'm going to do it in the future. That's what I want to help you with. Okay. There's the guilt that we feel like somebody else is putting a guilt trip on us when somebody's saying, you should do it differently. Your sister's going to guilt trip the shit out of you, you know, Frida. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. You know, it's just, but you just have to be, you know, that's her trip, not yours, you know? So, but again, it's, they can take that guilt trip if they want, but you don't have to get on the bus, right? Okay. So tell me how you wished you would have done it or could have been able to, or felt safe enough to.
Well, I guess if I had doing more of these things that I've been saying I'm going to do, like clean up this and clean up that, and here I am running off again, kind of thing, you know.
So responsible, he wants, and of course Saturn's always going to want you to be responsible. So you're going to feel judged for being not being as responsible as he thinks you should be. Or as you think, and
both of us, okay. And kind of like what I had hoped, you know.
Okay,
but I've been, you know, human, and been doing other work, and you know,
and you do tend to see more than you can do.
Right,
you're a visionary. You know, that's okay. You know, so that's, you need a team, girl. So the best thing to do is, first of all, you have to make peace. Okay. And I would suggest you doing, if you go into the meditations and you go into forgiveness, I've got my version of Ho'oponopono in there. It's very short. It's very useful. Okay.
Right.
Are you familiar with Ho'oponopono?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So this is where you need to forgive yourself.
Yes.
Okay. Nothing to do with him. This is for you not doing. Because you're feeling.
Exactly. And I don't need to attract any of that.
Yeah, and so you're projecting even more from him. So exactly. I want you to do that first, like when we get off this call. I want you to do a few rounds of that. It'll take you 15 minutes, okay?
Okay.
And then what would it be like if you were just super honest with him? Didn't try to justify anything. Say, you know what? I'm caught myself in this pattern again. I was just afraid of you. This is all my trip of you judging me. Because of this and this and this, I was judging me because of this and this and this, and I figured you would be too. So I didn't want to bring it to you because I felt like, okay, if I brought it to you days ago, then I would have, you know, there would have just been all this contention, and I just didn't know how to deal with it. So I got some help with it. And, I just want to be just, you know, just hear me out. I just want to be honest about it. And, I want to do it differently in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I have planned for this afternoon. Or evening, probably more.
And then you might even say to him, you know, that's something I want to work on, you know, going forward is just being able to have, you know, just being able to be, is it more open communication? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Just us having more open communication where I feel a little bit, you know, I feel safer.
Yeah. And it's the energy. I've been rejecting his worry word, repetitive stuff, and I'm just like,
yeah,
and he misunderstands that. I'm like, you don't understand, you know, you're preaching to the choir. I'm on the same page, you know. So
yeah, and so the conversation for you to have at some point is his worry. You think of it as an entity within him, okay, aspect of self. His worry is fear-based, but it thinks it's doing something good for you. Okay.
I know.
And but he needs to change that because it's yep. About him. It's not about you. And your running away from that is you're trying to keep yourself, you know, safe from it. Where it would be great if you see him worrying, going, you know, I see you have concerns, but really those are yours. I'm good over here. I
have, and we're in a good place. So I think I'm ready for that. The other thing I was just thinking in terms of like what you just mentioned with the dates coming up, or maybe you're going to, is the trip itself. And I'm leaving tomorrow night.
Okay. So tomorrow night is the 29th. Okay.
And I'm getting there. The 30th, I think. I'm kind of confused. I haven't even looked at it. But it starts on the first, you know, with all these people that are spiritual. And I, of course, should have done all sorts of homework and
Oh, you're going to show up as you are and you're brilliant and it's going to be fine. If
exactly.
you do show up as you are, you're going to be brilliant. You're going to be fine. Okay. I want you
So
to,
just in terms of steering myself, I'm just going to keep.
Okay.
I'm
So
going
as
to be
far
on
as,
a.
yeah. And as far as timing goes, you know, you're still in this Saturn K2, and Saturn K2, Saturn is your, plan of health and well-being and work and career on some levels. And it's also your partnership planet. You're going to be in the cycle for a long time, but you're in the cycle of the mystic, which you have been in, the sub cycle. You've been in that sub cycle since, November of 2022, and you'll be in that sub cycle until, December 19th. And then you'll go into Venus, which will be fine and good. Actually, that's in your money house, but the mystic is, where's your mystic? Oh, it's there. Okay, great. So, and you can read about the archetype of the mystic in the card deck or in the book or in the member site. The mystic wants to pull away from the world. And of course, this is a completely a mystic journey. Saturn and the mystic are the most spiritual aspects. I was born with a Saturn K2 in my chart for life, okay? And I've been through my Saturn K2 cycle. I understand this. I have a very, very you know, I'm spirit, but I have a very introverted part of me, and I can be in the world. I have other parts, but I have got, like, my husband knows I gotta have space. That's just, yeah, I gotta have space. So, but this is, you know, you're more gonna pull away during this time. And this is a spiritual journey you have decided you need to take. And it's very much in alignment with, you know, the timing you're in right now. So, as far as, so you're going to shy away from interacting at a certain level, you know, and you could feel a little insular. So just be aware of that. Okay. And then as far as your timing goes, Mercury is really more of the planet of travel. It's in a good place right now. So I wouldn't worry about that. When are you coming back?
Like a I think the 14th or 15th.
Okay. I have a motto about traveling. I've traveled a lot. I've lived on a sailboat, lots of things. Is that it's all an adventure from the moment I step out the door to get in the car to go. And however it goes is great. So, you know, just let it, you know, and do the best to give yourself generous timelines. Mars, and you have you know, your Mars is what's going to be in Gandanta, and your Mars is home and divine purpose for you. It is not the planet of, it's more short, it's not the planet of spiritual pilgrimage. Well, in some ways it is. But the fact that where it's going to be, you're going on a spiritual pilgrimage. I don't see any issues. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, there may be weird weather during that time, but other than that, I don't see any issues. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All
Okay.
right.
But I would say for you, use the, well, you know, once you become familiar with the Ho'oponopono, you know, and again, my version of it is quite short, but I have a specific slant on it, so it really lands. And then and I would just, for you, I think that's just a really good mantra for you, just to any self-judgment that comes, that you just keep like washing yourself over with that. Because as you let go of your own self-judgment, you know, and especially on this trip,
Oh.
that won't get reflected back to you as much.
Right, because I'll be with these teachers, and I'm sure they're gonna be awesome, but at the same time, I have my own, you know, I want to, be, I suppose, the usual good enough, right? So
So you need to go with being as, you know, as you
just
are.
be me, just be me, yeah.
If we're just us, we can't really go wrong, right? You can't get that wrong.
Right.
We
Yeah,
get
it'll
wrong
be.
for trying not to be us. That's really hard, you know.
It'll yeah.
How's your hand?
Oh, I think it's doing really well.
Good.
It's still a little tight and a little weak. So,
But that's great. You're out of your yeah, you've healed it quite well.
yeah.
Good job.
So feel good about that.
Good. Awesome. 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 Awesome.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Was this helpful?
Yes.
Awesome. 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 Okay. Anything else before we wrap up?
No, I think it's really good.
Okay.
So I'm so glad you sent the reminder and,
our next, just FYI, the schedule is accurate now and it is, on the member site. So you can, mark calendar, but, our next mastermind is on the 12th, and that's the one that's in the evening. It ends up being 8 p.m. Eastern. And then the following one will be the 26th of July, and that will be at the same time again. And then
so the 12th and the 26th of July?
Correct. 12th is at 8 p.m. Eastern, because I think you both are on Eastern. And then the...
I'm on Central, but that's okay.
Okay. And then the 26th is at the same time, the 3 p.m. Eastern.
So the 12th...
It's on the member site.
I'll still be over there, so I'll be like trying to calculate, but...
Yeah, if you're available, just, you know, hop on. And then... and always, if you have questions you want me to answer, just reply back to the email and I'll do it live and then you can listen to it later. You always have that option.
Okay? Excellent.
Because it's sometimes nice to have the voice transmission. And then we have a Full Moon Healing Circle on Sunday. And then there's two in August because there's a blue moon in August. So there's one at the very beginning and one at the end. So all those dates are on there.
Okay. Yeah, I might not make the
you'll get the replay
just now, but I'll get the replay. And then August, of course, I'll put it on my calendar.
Okay.
Yay.
Great to see everyone. Okay.
Likewise.
All right. Take care. All right. Much love. Okay. Bye-bye.